Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a Sunday morning sermon, Sunday Morning Alive, right here on our website. We thank you for joining us today, keeping the Word of God as we gather together around the Word to share it together, to receive from it holy instructions to help us through these end times that we are living in. The title of our sermon today, I pray, intrigues you, piques your interest, and causes you to want to stay with us, to take time to get in the Word. You came to this website today because of some kind of spiritual need or spiritual hunger. You may be driven here because of the times that we are living in, looking for some hope. Well, I've got good news for you today. The Word of God is filled with hope, but that hope can only come as we receive instructions from the Word of God today. So the title of our sermon today is Help and Hope for Perilous Times. Help and Hope for Perilous Times. Now, this applies to Christians who have that help promise from God and that hope that God grants us. But if you're not a Christian today, I've got good news for you as well. You can become a Christian before this broadcast is concluded, or at the conclusion of it, or right now, or tomorrow, or the next day. I'm not going to put a time limit, but I'm saying you need to know the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. But the troubled times are already here, and we're told to occupy until He comes. You say, preacher, where can we go? Well, we can't go anywhere till Jesus comes for us, or we go to Him. But until He comes, we are told to occupy until He comes. And that means we are to be about the business of the kingdom. We're to continue to do the work that we have been commissioned to do right up until the day that Jesus comes. To occupy doesn't mean to sit in depression and wait and cry out for His coming. It does mean to, as the Latin term carpe diem, seize the day. Or as the Bible puts it, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Not being overcome with evil, but overcoming evil with good. Hallelujah. Well, we pray you'll stay tuned today on the subject, Hope and Help for Perilous Times. Proverbs 24:10 says, If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I want to make a statement today as we consider that scripture and that wisdom from Solomon, and we apply it to our day that we are living in. We're living in the last of the last days prophetically. Perilous times are not coming, they are here. In the last days, the scripture teaches, perilous times will come, dangerous times, outrageous times. And these times, taken in context, has the connotation of reducing the strength. That's why, if thou faint in the day of adversity, when the devil pulls out all the stops, it's called the evil day. When we're facing those crises in our life, when we see the conditions of the world around us getting worse and worse and worse, when we read a headline on the internet and we think that, oh, that is outrageous. How can that be? And then the next day something happens, or the next week something happens to be even worse than what we thought. It couldn't get any worse. Listen, friend of mine, according to the scripture, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we are told in these times that we need to take the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand in the evil day, especially when evil seems to be gaining more influence globally and in our nation than the influence of the Christian faith. The Christian faith is not this good leaven is not strong like it used to be here in America. A little leaven can leaven the lump, righteous or unrighteous, depending on how much is used and how much is allowed. The organized religion part of the so-called Christian church has failed and is failing, and that's why so many people don't even bother going to church, and churches are being sold. The big, beautiful churches from old line denominations being sold and offices put in and used for different purposes because people just quit coming. There's an exodus away from attending church. The Bible tells us very clearly. It's not a suggestion. It's something that is a clear command from the Word of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another, building up one another, strongly encouraging one another, and in particular in context, in right living. Amen. If thou faint in the day of adversity, it isn't because the adversity is draining our strength. It's exposing the fact that we were not strong as we should be to begin with. Now listen carefully. God does not expect you or I to stand in our own strength. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord, only in Him. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Solo Cristo, only through Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This do all things is not the gifts of the Spirit. It's not the charismata. It is not the power of God, the dunamis. It is the person of Christ releasing His power and strength into us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And it doesn't mean I can do all of these things that the Holy Spirit enables us through the gifts of the Spirit. It means I am equal to anything. It means I have power within me, released in me, in order to face anything that I may have to face. The day of adversity is going to come. There's no doubt about that. It's part and parcel of the Christian faith. In this world, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation, anguish, and pressure, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And it's this looking to the world overcomer, not using His deity, but using that He's made available to you and to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, tested in all ways that we can be, and yet did no sin. He overcame the world. He overcame the flesh. He overcame the devil. And He said, I have went before you to conquer it in your behalf and conquer it that I may grant unto you the victory. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, and down at the last of that chapter that talks about death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In that evil day, when the adversity is coming as strong against you, the Bible said, get my armor, put it on, stand in that evil day. We're living in the perilous times. We're living in the evil day when wickedness abounds and the love of many is waxing cold. It's not time to go with the flow. It is time to rise up. Hallelujah. As the scripture said in the old covenant, that darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. And the message to the covenant people is, arise and shine in that day, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, and shall be seen upon thee. The darkness is not going to put out the light if we don't turn off the light, if we don't get discouraged. It's only going to enhance it. If you're a Christian today and you identify truly as a Christian because you've been born again, you're not just saying those words. You have had an experience, an encounter with the living God. You've repented of your sin, received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been born from above. Oh, you have been baptized into Jesus Christ's body spiritually. Glory be to God. You have had the Holy Spirit come to indwell you, and you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive power from on high. But until you come to Jesus, you're without God and without hope in the world. Today, if you are a Christian, if you faint in the day of adversity, it exposes the fact that we don't have what we need, and we need to find out how to get it from the Word of God. So if you're feeling weak and weary and actually being tempted to not just go back, but even to look back, friend of mine, I want you to listen to some of these things that we can change today, beginning today. There are reasons that we faint, and number one is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, in verse 1. And the problem is presented by Jesus, and the answer is given by Jesus. So let's look to Jesus today as the author and the finisher of our faith. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we become faint-hearted in the day of adversity, it is linked directly to our prayer life. Whether we do what the Bible tells us to do in the area of prayer. I know when you're discouraged, you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like it's going to make any difference at all. That is a feeling. That is not a fact. The fact is, I like what somebody said, and I've said it many times. I'll continue to say it. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Why does he tremble? Because he knows better than we know that God is listening when we pray. And he knows better than we know that the power of prayer is not in him that prays, but in the God who hears. And his eyes are on the righteous, the scripture tells us, and his ears are open to our cry. Don't let your discouragement and the fact that your faith is wavering and shaky and seeming so small keep you from crying out to God. Psalm 50:15 says, and call on me in the day of trouble. Pray. Cry out to God. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Hallelujah. Prayerlessness is the paramount reason that we get faint-hearted. Men ought to pray and not to faint. The New Covenant puts it this way: in all things, in prayer and supplication, definite request, let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, glory to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you to pray when you don't feel like it. I want to encourage you to seal your prayer with thanksgiving and worship, to blend your gratitude. Start by thanking Him for saving you so you could call upon the Father in the name of Jesus Christ and know that you have His ear because you know that you have His heart. Because God loved you enough to give His Son. And I call it the logic of the cross. I quote it many times. I'm going to keep quoting it. It's important that what happened at the cross speaks louder than what may be happening to you concerning the fact of God's love for you and your expectation of Him answering your prayers. If He loved us enough to offer up, that means to give His Son as a sin offering on the cross, to offer up His only Son, how much more will He not with Him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Pray anyway. And don't faint. God will release grace. God will release power in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will help you in those weak areas of your life. But you've got to call upon Him with that little faith. Hold on just a little while longer. I challenge you to pray. I challenge you to call upon Him. I challenge you to enter into your closet. Find a place. Turn off the cell phone. It'll take a message for you. You won't miss an important call. But don't miss this important call to prayer. If My people, which are called by My name, would humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from on high, and I will heal their land. God has made Himself accessible to you through prayer. Don't miss this privilege and this awesome possibility of power being released when we do pray. Not only is it possible, not only is it probable, it is promised in the Word of God. Call upon Me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Prayerlessness is the single most important reason that we faint. And that's why Jesus addressed it specifically, succinctly in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. And that's with that, and not faint. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Why is thy strength small? It's directly related to our prayer life. That's why the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean to go around mumbling a prayer all day long till nobody can talk to you. Nobody can speak to you because you're just mumbling a prayer. No, it means never give up on God by not praying, not bringing your needs to Him, not coming to Him, casting your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. That's how you deal with the anxiety and the worry and the fear. These are legitimate concerns. He's not telling you to ignore them as if they don't exist. I love that song, that old camp meeting hymn of the faith. Amen. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour. I'm told that, can you imagine taking an hour out of our busyness to pray? Even pastors, even preachers, according to a poll of not long ago, and we know it's worse today because of the busyness of life, the pushing in of all the cares of this life, the pressures, the adversity. Listen, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour. It is said the average minister prays about 15 minutes a week. Can you imagine the weakness that is in that minister that's going to have a real issue with being wore thin and in danger of being worn out? Giving in to temptation, giving place to the devil, is a result directly related to prayerlessness. Take ye the whole armor. It's not the authority that is the issue of the believer. It's not the power of the Holy Ghost that has come to indwell the believer. It is the prayerlessness of the believer. Listen carefully. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This panoply, this armor of God is for a purpose. And it is not manifest until that purpose is realized for it. Listen. It's not just the power. It's not just the armor. It's whether or not that power is released in the arena of prayer. Hear it well from Ephesians 6 and verse 10. You can read that. Ephesians 6:10, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Take, and it begins with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. The shoes of peace. Friend of mine, today is the day to take the armor of God. And then it says, having overcome all, stand praying. Next verse. Don't stop. It's only a comma. It's not a period. Praying with all prayer and supplication for me and for all saints. So it's in the arena of prayer where all of the benefit and blessing of this supernatural enablement is released. And the problem is the devil's trying to keep us out of that crucial, critical arena of prayer. I got to go to Washington, D.C. years and years and decades ago, really, because they brought in pastors by computer, picked them. I would have never got picked because we didn't have a big prominent church and ministry. We had a powerful ministry, but we didn't have a prominent in the city to make, or certainly not in the United States. There were not mega churches in that day. But I was invited by computer because I was a registered minister from the state of Florida, one from each state, to go to Washington, D.C. and hear the importance of being involved in the political process and particularly in the spiritual process of prayer. And I heard the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at that time speak at the Capitol Hilton Hotel to Christian ministers. And he said, we take our best and brightest and send them to the mission fields. But the world takes their best and brightest and sends them to become journalists, to become editors of newspapers, to become that talking head on television, to gain influence in the culture. And he told us we need to pray. We need to pray that God will raise up Christian journalists and Christian editors and people who will carry their faith into the workplace. It's harder to do that today because of the woke culture, because of the heightened sensitivity to the how dangerous we are to the devil and his crowd. Listen, how dangerous the gospel is. The devil's retaliating. He's reacting because God is on the move today, and there are Christians today that have taken the armor of God, entered the arena of prayer, and the devil knows that it's going to affect things, even though it seems like the devil has the upper hand. Listen carefully today. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff talking about the military aspect of this. He said, we need funds to keep our military strong. And here's what he said, and here's the spiritual relationship of it. He said, we can have the greatest military in the world, the mightiest Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines in the world. But if we can't get them to the battlefield, if we don't have the planes and the ships to get them to the battlefield, to fight the battle on that battlefield, we lose by default. He used this analogy. You can have the greatest boxer in the world who seemingly cannot be beaten by anyone. But if you can't get him through the traffic to Madison Square Garden in the day, the night of the fight, he loses by default. Friend of mine, let me show you something here again. Look at Ephesians 6. First, you see the adversary. He is supernatural. We can't fight him in our strength, nor does God expect us to. That's why the scripture said the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Listen carefully. Take you therefore the whole armor of God. He provides it to us. He provides it for us that we might what? Not faint, but stand in the evil day. Our strength is not small. Our strength is mighty in God. Listen, but if we don't get to the arena and activate what God has granted to us, that it might be manifest to us and through us, dear friend of mine, that we're losing the battle by default. Prayerlessness. Listen carefully. The arena of battle is prayer. Take ye the whole armor of God, and when you have it all on, it said, having overcome all, stand. Praying with all prayer and supplication for me and for all saints. Glory to God. Praying with all manner of prayer, intercession, petition, all manner of prayer. And it is that arena of battle where we've eliminated prayer meeting. We just couldn't hack it. We couldn't stand not being entertained for an hour. So much of church has become entertainment instead of spiritual warfare, where we win or lose battles in that arena. We don't show up for prayer meeting. We don't show up. We're too busy for a Sunday night service. Forget about it. Why have it? No one's going to come. Listen, we're following some trilogy on television. We're wore out and wore thin and wore down, and the devil's counting on us not being spiritually energized and spiritually enabled to pray without ceasing, to tap in to the resources that are spiritual and the power that has no way of measuring it. Dunamis doesn't mean dynamite. Dunamis doesn't mean dynamo. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world, because they're going to see the power of God manifest. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, my preaching and my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of spirit and power. Hallelujah. This gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, and therefore in much assurance. And we preach the gospel. The scriptures tell us, they, speaking of them, and should be applied to us, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Bible colleges today that not only do not preach the necessity of the anointing in order to break the yoke, many are teaching against needing the anointing at all, saying that some of the abuses in the Pentecostal or charismatic movement should cancel every semblance of the supernatural power and anointing of God. Every gift of the Spirit should be nullified and cast aside. The devil must be laughing his head off because we're trying to win a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. Our greatest theological teachers, and one in particular, had a counter life to everything he was teaching because he wasn't doing it in the power of God, and he could not resist the devil, and he became deceived, and he deceived many, many people. One of the greatest apologists of our day. And when he fell, there are many people who really looked at that and said, how can I stand? I thought he knew all of this. It's not just what you know. It's who you know. Hallelujah. Listen, dear friend, today, when we get in that arena of prayer, we are in the place that all of the armor, all of the resources of God have been given unto us for. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Apostle Paul said, I will speak with the Spirit, and I will speak with the Holy, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. When I don't understand how to pray, I will give way and let the Holy Spirit intercede through me. Dear friend of mine, we've got to get in the arena of prayer and get filled with the Holy Spirit, that when we enter that arena, we can pray in a faith that is even granted to us by the Holy Spirit, and in power for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was subject to like passions as us. He felt the pressure. He felt overwhelmed at times. His faith wavered clearly. But he prayed anyway. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, today is a day when God is calling us to prayer. Come back to that place. Make time. Enter into your closet, your personal space. Make space for God to do this in us and through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. enter into your closet and pray, and the God who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Today is a day of great adversity. It's the perilous times, but there is hope because we can still rebuild and restore our prayer life. And we're going to see God move because God's people are going to put on His armor and get in the arena of prayer. And against all of these arrayed powers, principalities, and rulers of the darkness, they're going to tremble for a change. We're going to get a look at the backside of Satan instead of just seeing how viciously and vehemently he's coming against us. We're going to see him having to back off and flee from us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ today. I hope this is an encouragement to you. Pray again. I know you're down sometimes. I am too. And the devil says, why pray? Because he knows what's going to happen if we do. Call upon me. Psalm 50:15. Come in with thanksgiving. Don't forget thanksgiving. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will hear you. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Today, if you don't know Jesus, the Bible said you're without hope, you're without God in the world. Who can you call on? Who will you call upon? Where can you turn? To drugs? To drink? To some kind of all-consuming sin to blind you and bind you and numb you to the reality that you're alone without God, without His promise to help you? Oh, friend of mine, today, that can all change because God wants to save you. God wants to seal you with the Holy Spirit and mark you therefore as His very own. And God wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come. And friend, He'll give you everything you need, all things that pertain to life and godliness He hath given us when He gave us Jesus. So come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. He's coming soon for His bride, His church. You do not want to be left here alone without God. You don't want to live here another minute alone without God. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.